2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to go with verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We've been studying spiritual warfare, and I think tonight I'll probably finish up on this, and we'll go to something else next week. But you know, let's go ahead and read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Y'all going to have to excuse my clear my throat. There's two things that help my sinuses. That's Sudafed, which makes me hyper, and Benadryl, which puts me to sleep. Other than that, that's what I do right there all the time. And it drives me crazy. I know it does you, so pray for me, okay, Lord, to heal me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, is this so loud that it's ringing? It's not, okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We would say, unless Satan should get an advantage of us. And for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, of course, Apostle Paul's speaking to people that know the word. He's speaking to people who've been born again. They know the scriptures. He's speaking to people who have sacrificed everything to become Christians. He's speaking to people who have suffered tribulation and persecution, even death and suffering, because they have turned to Christ from Judaism. And even the Gentiles, when they would get saved. And he's talking to people who've lost everything. Some of them have lost everything. And they know they're in a spiritual battle. They know they're in a spiritual war. They know that. Most Christians today do not know that. They think we're on a sliding board or something, just having a good time. And we're just sliding right through this Christian life. Well, I've got news for you. Satan is subtle.
Amen.
He does not wear a red suit with a ponytail and horns, and he doesn't carry a pitchfork. His angels disguise themselves as angels of light. His preachers disguise themselves as preachers of righteousness. He's subtle. Subtle means he doesn't just come out and say something. You know, some people are subtle. They can beat around the bush all day, you know, and just say things. You think, boy, I wish I could have said that. You know, but by this, it means that he's sneaky. He's sneaky. And he says what we ought to do, we ought to not be ignorant of his devices. In other words, we ought to look out for his mechanisms.
Amen.
His machinery, his workings, the way he works, his devices, the way he operates. You understand what he's talking about? Because we're in a spiritual war. And though he cannot destroy a believer, he can hinder, misdirect, misguide, perplex, and in the end, not destroy, but defeat the Christian in their Christian life. He can do that. And he says we ought not let him have an advantage over us. He can get an advantage over us. See, people who do not know the scriptures, Jesus told the Pharisees that time, he said, ye do err not knowing the scriptures. And people who say they are believers in Christ and they don't know the scriptures, they err. And they're going to make some terrible mistakes because they don't know the scriptures. And the sad thing is, most of the people who are leading those people don't know the scriptures. And they don't care to know them. It's a business. And they take polls. And they ask opinions. What's that guy up north with that big church? He's the first one to have one of those big super churches up right outside of Chicago or somewhere. I wish I could remember his name. He's old news now. He's wrote 3 or 4 books about the Christian life that sold millions of copies. Y'all think about that while I talk. But this, now he was a Southern Baptist at first, and here's the way he started out. He's Rick Warren. Here's the way he did it. He left the seminary. He went up there with a pen and paper and 2 or 3 other guys, and they went neighborhood to neighborhood, door to door, not spreading the gospel, but asking people what they liked and disliked about church. And he built a church on that survey. They didn't like the cross. The cross was offensive. So his church had no crosses in it. They didn't like hymnals because that was old and out of date. So they got rid of the hymnals. And back then they'd cast it on the wall. Before the TV stuff, they'd cast the music on the wall. They didn't like certain subjects. They didn't like the subject being preached on of hell. Or tithing, or sin, or God's holiness and things like that. So that's the way he made a church. And a lot of people are ignorant of the scriptures because of him. Now, that church, since it grew so fast and so much and made so much money, it's big business. Now that church has now copied that. We've got one right over here on Red River Road. Y'all call it Sail River Road. We used to call it Red River Road. Sail River Road, there's one over there. Elevation, levitation, devilation. Amen. They're everywhere. Big business. And listen, these people don't know the devices of Satan. I want to thank God. When I got saved in a Baptist church. Amen. And I want to thank God when I start, a man in that church, Wayne Henson, after he took me through the scriptures and prayed with me and all that, a couple weeks later, he brought me a Winn-Dixie bag, and some of y'all are not even old enough to know what Winn-Dixie is. Amen. It was a grocery store chain, and he worked there, and he brought me a Winn-Dixie grocery bag full of cassette tapes. That's back when people had cassettes. And I listened to those tapes by fundamental Baptist preachers, and they set my heart on fire. Then he brought me a whole bag full of Oliver B. Green booklets. They were about that big, each one of them. And mostly it was just scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And he'd say a few words, and then he'd have 10 scriptures. And by the time I went to Bible college, I knew everything they wanted to teach me when I got there. Because of Oliver B. Green booklets and because of those great men of God that didn't mind shucking the corn and preaching the word. Amen. Now, Satan is subtle. He has mechanisms. He's got tools that he can use to destroy us. The kingdom of heaven in this world is in the believer's heart. We don't have a king here. Our king's Jesus. We don't have a president. We don't have a house of representatives. We don't have a pope. No hope in the pope. The kingdom of heaven in this world is in the believer's heart, and we're made partakers of joy and peace through Jesus Christ by his Holy Ghost. And the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And we look for power in the Spirit in order to overcome Satan's devices. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will do that in us and through us and on us. We are not capable of fighting Satan. So we depend on the power of the Holy Ghost to do that for us. We expect to have the victory. 1 John 5:4, this is victory overcomes the world, even our faith. We expect to have the victory. If you think you're a Christian and you don't expect to have the victory, maybe you just need to get a heart transplant and get saved. The day I got saved, I knew that was it. I've got the victory. I didn't know a verse that says it, though. Now, we expect to walk by walking and following the Spirit and the directions of the Word of God. We overcome those things old Satan throws at us, and sometimes we don't. But when we don't, we recover by the Spirit and the Word of God. We trust the promises to keep us. Jude, I think verse 24 says, now unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, we trust him to keep us. I'm no match for the devil. Nobody is. Jesus is. And the reason I do that, the reason I put it all on Jesus to do my fighting and to do my saving and keeping is because he says that he's the God that cannot lie and it's physically impossible for God to tell a lie. So therefore, I know I'm going to be all right because he said so. Now, through his word, I realize that these devices are there to hinder God's work in me. Did y'all know that God has a work in you? Everybody. Did you know that no one is saved for no purpose? Everyone is saved for a purpose. God has a purpose for everyone. And God has a work he wants to do in each person that he'll get the glory. Each one of us. God has a work for everybody. And you say, well, I'm just a housewife. Well, be the best Christian housewife that ever lived. He'll get the glory, you know. Whatever it is he's chosen you to do. Now, I'm going to spend some time on these. There's some ways of Satan, the devices that he uses. I've got one of these up here. This is a device. That's a device. And I don't take it off that paper because somebody will lose it if I do. It's kind of like that key that stays up here. Nobody wants to keep it because it's got that big thing on the end of it. Well, nobody wants to steal my thermometer because it's got all that paper. But this is my device, and I look up here and I say, well, people are fanning. Let's see. It is 73 degrees in here. And that's how I know, you know. And I have other devices. I've got a watch that I use to tell time by that I hardly ever look at. And I got a clock. There's another device back there. Here's a device that we use to speak to and record. Anything. There's ways that Satan has, and he has devices, the things of this world, the people of this world, the programs of this world, the governments of this world, whatever it might be. He's got devices that he uses, tools that he uses, not to destroy my salvation. He can't do that. And he knows he can't steal my salvation. He cannot do that. But he uses those devices to dampen my joy in the Lord. Because when I do sin, I lose my joy.
Right.
Yeah. And by causing us, also he makes me lose my joy by considering, he brings to mind my own shortcomings. He reminds me of my own shortcomings. And that dampens my joy in the Lord. That's one of his devices. Brother Ed, he'll get on one shoulder and tell you you ought to do it. You're going to have a good time. It'll feel good. Ain't nobody going to know it. And once you do it, he'll get on the other shoulder and say, you sorry hypocrite. Everybody's going to know it. I'm going to tell them. But that's his devices to steal our joy. A joyless Christian is a defeated Christian.
Amen.
I've said this before, a lot of Christians, the reason nobody asks them what the hope in them is, which the Bible tells us they should be asking us, if we've got it. And the reason a lot of lost people don't ask people, so-called Christians, why they have joy is because they do not exhibit any joy. Bunch of sour pussies. I still think the reason I didn't get saved sooner was because of Christians. I met some of the most miserable Christians I'd ever met in my life. Now, they might have been saved. I don't know if they was or not, but if they were, the devil had robbed their joy.
Yes.
And he'll do that to you so you won't witness. Because when you don't have the joy of the Lord, why do you want to share what you got? And by the way, nobody wants what you got.
Right.
If it makes you that miserable, why would we want it? And then another device is he attacks our peace. You know, we've got that peace that passes all understanding that God has put in us by the Holy Spirit, and by causing us to doubt our salvation, it steals our peace. So, what he'll do, he'll use one of his devices, a particular sin that he thinks you're susceptible to, and then he'll throw it at you, and then after you do it, he'll say, well, you ain't even saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't do that anymore. By doing that, he steals our peace. He attacks our peace. And then he'll attack your calling. He'll say, man, you ain't much of a preacher. You're not much of a Sunday school teacher. You're not much of a choir director. No, you're not. And he'll attack that, and we will lose our peace. And here's another tool he uses. He attacks our faith. He attacks our faith. And you say, well, preacher, how can he do that? If we're saved, we've got everlasting faith, and God gave us faith to be saved. Yes, but we need faith in every area. He can't steal my assurance that I'm going to heaven. God put that faith in me. I didn't put that in there. And you can't work it up, and there's nothing you can do to get that. It's a gift of God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And during times of sickness or pain, you know what? He'll attack our faith and say, well, if God really loved you, he wouldn't let you go through this. If God really loved you, he wouldn't let you be sick. Well, that's a lie right out of hell. Very few people's ever been through this life didn't get sick. Sickness is the curse, and one of the curses of sin. This old frail body. And we're not free of this body yet. And any preacher tell you that if you're a Christian, you'll never get sick, get away from him. He's a tool of Satan. He's a liar. Just because you're sick don't make you lost. Look what he put Job through. My goodness. And then the Apostle Paul. He said, I had a thorn in the flesh, and I prayed 3 times, Lord, get this out, deliver me from this. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient, because when you're weak, I am strong. So he attacks our faith, and sometimes with poverty he attacks our faith. Now, I know all of you didn't come from where I came from, and all of you didn't grow up. You'll thank God you didn't grow up like I did, or Brother Danny. I can't outpour Danny. He's always got a poorer story than I do. But I know you did. after I was born again, after I received Jesus Christ, I didn't all of a sudden inherit $1 million. I was still poor. And I had learned how not to be poor. Did you know not being poor is a learned skill? Did you know you wasn't born not knowing how to be poor? I mean, knowing how not to be poor. Your old flesh will have you broke from the day you born. Amen. If you follow the flesh. Amen. How many young people have we seen their parents worked and slaved for years and years and years and built up a little something and bought a little something and put a little money in the bank, and their kids come along after they die and just destroy every bit of it overnight? You're not born knowing how to do that. I used to say this, people didn't understand, but I know you will, because you're more scriptural than most of the crowd I preach to in my ministry. Just because you got saved doesn't mean you'll automatically start paying your bills on time. Just because you got saved doesn't automatically mean that you'll start watching your checkbook right. Just because you got saved doesn't mean that you'll start tithing right away. See, those are learned skills. And you know how we learn most of that? Trial and error. Trial and error. Boy, I tell you what, one year, when we were a young couple, just had kids, and Christmas was coming around, I was laid off from the Rock Hill Print and Fish, and somebody sent us a credit card. Now, you don't send a 20-something-year-old couple a credit card in the 1970s when everybody didn't have one. And we got in trouble with that thing, man. We had a pretty good Christmas. Well, it took a long time to pay off that credit card. And listen, the old devil, he'll attack our faith by our poverty, and he'll come along and say, look over yonder, that old boy's got it all. What you got? And you claim to be a Christian, and that your father is the father of, got a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns all the gold in the hills. Why ain't he giving it to you? And then Benny Hinn will come on. And then Kenneth Copeland will come on. Then Kenneth Hagin will come on. And what's the one that claims to be some Dollar? That one, his last name's Dollar. I think he's a black man. He'll come on. Creflo Dollar. We know what y'all been watching. Listen, and that's why you've been out of church so much. Amen. I bet y'all watch him too. And I'm just kidding. But they'll come along and they'll say, if you'll just plant a seed. If you'll just plant a seed, it'll grow into $1 million. And the old devil says, that's who you need to listen to. And then you send that last seed you had. And your crop goes bare. And guess what Creflo gets? A new jet airplane. Because there's a lot of people out there don't know enough about the scriptures, just like everybody else. So he attacks our joy, he attacks our peace, he attacks our faith, and then listen to this, he attacks our holiness. After you get saved, he says you need to come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, touch not the unclean thing and I'll receive you unto myself. Now, amen, Lord, that's the Lord saying amen. I'm preaching up a storm, amen. If lights go out, you just sit real still. I'll keep right on preaching. Listen, and it's happened before, by the way. Hey, he attacks our holiness. We have to be separate from the world in order to be like God wants us to be. Rahul Roy, that should not be a problem for you, where you live. The worst temptation he's got is killing a robin and frying it for supper. I don't know. Listen. He attacks our holiness, and we only are holy by being separate from the world. And listen what he does. He's always either accusing us of being too holy, or he's excusing us and saying, you don't have to go so far. You'll be all right in this one. He attacks it. He says, well, you're not holy enough in your living. You're a hypocrite. You might be going to heaven, but you ain't getting no reward, you lying, low-down hypocrite. You're the worst child God's got. Or either he'll come on the other side and say, you stinking Pharisee, you're a legalist. You think everybody's got to be just like you to go to heaven, and you're a legalist, and ain't nobody ever going to listen to you. You see his devices, oh Lord. He's subtle. If he can't play one way, he'll play the other way. And then I got 3 minutes. What? Going to the car. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Hurry. Galatians chapter 5. That was my introduction. I'm going to go fast, okay? I proved I could do it Sunday morning after the missionary. Here it is, Galatians. I just enjoy preaching. I can't help it. Verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, here's how we guard against the Satan's devices. Here's how we get around his civility. Here's how we get around his devices right here. Number one, with our walk. If we live in the Spirit, that means if the Holy Spirit lives in us and we're alive and we're trying to be Christians, we're living in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. That means everyday lifestyle. Walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. Don't listen to the flesh. Always have your ear out to the Spirit. And listen, he is always going to use Scripture. He's always going to use Scripture. And he'll bring Scriptures to your mind and remind you. So, boy, we're going to guard against those devices. We've got to walk in the Spirit of God. God, fill me. God, guide me. God, remind me of your word. And I'll walk in the Spirit. Number two, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I'm telling you how to guard against his devices. Number one, walk in the Spirit. Number two, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. In verse 6, he says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Carnally minded means doing what the flesh wants, carnal, carnality. Carnally minded is death. It'll kill you. The wages of sin is still death. Yeah. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now that's where our life and peace comes from. And here's how to guard against it. Think spiritual. Think spiritual. Think spiritual. Always, what's going on here? Think spiritually. Why am I doing this? Think spiritually. Why are they doing this? Think spiritually. What am I going through? Why do I need money? Think spiritually. Why am I sick? Think spiritually. Why do those people hate my guts? You know, think spiritually. Walk in the Spirit, and while you're living spiritually, think spiritually. And while you're doing that, see, the dead in spirit, the old devil, he can't get in there. Did you know you can only carry one thought at a time? Unless you're some kind of freak I've never heard of. You know, I can't think of but one thing at a time. A lot of times at night, I'll be laying in bed trying to sleep, and the old devil, he'll come. And you know what I do? I'll try to pray. If that don't work, I'll try to remember scripture. And if nothing else, I'll just count. I'll count backwards. I'm not counting sheep, but I'll count backwards because you ever see them put somebody to sleep? They always tell them count backwards. And sometimes it works, but I'm telling you, not all the time. But as a man thinketh, so is he. We have to put ourselves in the mind of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Why am I having these thoughts? Why are these people saying this stuff to me? Why is this showing up? Okay, think spiritually. I'm telling you how to guard against his devices. Walk in the Spirit. Think spiritually. Now, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Y'all already know all these things. Anyway, I'm just reminding you. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 14. I'm going to go ahead and start. And by the way, if it does rain, it won't rain 5 minutes. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. Straight. Circumspectly. Your shoulders back, your head up. Walk circumspectly. And not as fools. Now who's a fool? The fool says that in his heart there is no God. So he's a godless person. Not as godless people. But as wise. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of what? Yes. Amen. As wise. Now, what are you doing? Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, how are you going to guard against his devices? One, walk spiritually. Two, think spiritually. Number three, listen, redeem the time. Ask God to be in your time. Redeem the time. Because, see, we waste more time than you could imagine. Most people do. They waste a lot of time. And I imagine TV is probably the biggest waste of time. Well, I'm going to keep preaching. Anyway, TV's probably the biggest waste of time you'll ever have now. And entertainment. The entertainment is gone. It's gone. And don't say sports. It's gone too. It's gone too. Redeeming the time. Find something to do that's redemptive for your time, that you can do something good with that time, not just throw it away. And by asking God to fill you with his Spirit. Romans 13. I'll be through. Romans 13. And that was the Lord telling me I went over time. Romans 13. Look at verse 11 through 13. And that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, He's talking to Christians. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You're closer to heaven than you used to be.
That's right.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of what? Light. And if I walk in the light as he's in the light, he says. And then verse 13, let us walk honestly in the day. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, that's sexual sins, not in strife and envy, that's emotional sins. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says, wake up, pay attention. Look what's going on. Wake up, pay attention, and it'll change your life. Now, see, what Satan does, he's waving some little something over here while he's doing something over here, and it's going to look real pretty right there, but by the time it gets over here, it's in a mess. And whatever that device is, whatever it is, we got to be aware of his devices. Now you can't do that sleeping saints. You got to stay awake. Read the word. Study the word. Quote the word. Pray the word. Practice the word. Preach the word. It's all about the word of God. And you do that being filled with the Spirit of God. Because that's where your power is. You remember the story in the book of Acts, and it just came to my memory, and I'm through. The seven sons of Sceva, you remember that? And they thought, boy, I saw Paul casting out some demons, and I saw this one doing that, and I saw this one doing that. And they found this guy demon-possessed. And you know what they did? They said, come out in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And the demons jumped on them and ripped their clothes off. That tells you why people run around naked right there. And they ripped their clothes off. And they said, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? Who are you? Let me tell you something. We have no authority over those demons. And people say, well, I'm going to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. You better draw nigh to God and let God draw nigh to you. Let's let God take care of those demons. Amen. I've been around two people in my whole saved time of my life, my whole preaching time, that I knew were demon possessed. I knew they were. And I'm scared. And I did not take command of that demon. And I did not tell those people what to do. I told them how to be saved and I left. That's all I could do. Now the devil don't usually work that way though. He doesn't usually come out where you can see it. He's usually over here somewhere. Just far enough. My grandkids, Brother Jeffrey, they'll come up behind me and they'll tug on my coat and I'll turn around and they're not there. And then they'll tug on my coat and I'll turn around and they're not there. And then they'll tug on my coat and I'll turn around and I'll be there made a full circle and I know what they're doing, you know. They're moving with me. They're behind me. Well, you know, the old devil's the same way. You won't ever see him, but he'll always be there. And if you go to sleep, you're in trouble. Wake up, he says. Well, awake! I'm afraid most Christians have no idea about what I just talked about. How else could our churches in America be in such a mess? And then how else could the people that claim to be Christians running a nation be in such a mess? Well, I'm at war. I'm at war. And I'm going to carry the saber of light with me, buddy. It cuts coming and going. Amen. Amen. That's my only defense right there. That's it.
That's right.
By the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, I can fight every demon and devil of hell in this world. And listen, there'll always be another one right there. Another one right there. Another one right there. So we got to stay awake, folks. The church has gone to sleep. A lot of our folks have gone to sleep. They've let this COVID scare Half of 1% of America's died from it, and they're so scared that they've quit serving God. They've quit. They act like God can't overcome this. They need to wake up. And then all these people going to these churches that ain't even really churches, they need to wake up. I'm going to tell you one thing. I know I'm in a war. I've been in it since the day I was saved. I've battled ever since the day I was saved with this booger. Amen. All right, let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant word. Thank you that we can stand. You told us after we've done all, just stand. And we're standing surrounded by your light, the word of God. And we stand protected by your might, the spirit of God. And we move forward by your orders through the word of God. And Lord, whatever happens to us, we put it in your hands. If we succeed, we give you the glory. If we fail, we'll say, God, you promised to keep us. So we're going to trust you, God. There's nothing else we can do but just trust you. Now, wake some people up at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Bring them in here Sunday, Lord. Deliver them from these things that have so easily beset them. And get them back on the right path, following the light that they know, Lord. And if any comes in here that's in darkness or not saved, I pray you convict them by the Holy Ghost and draw them to the Savior and save them before it's too late. And if there's any come, Lord, that are deceived, they think they're saved because they got baptized or they joined church or maybe they got baptized as a baby or they're good people, Lord, I pray you'd turn the light on to them. Turn the light on, reveal yourself and save them before it's too late. Let this be a battle station. Where they can come get their battery charged, get the light tuned up and awake and go back out there in the world and spread the good news that Jesus saves. And then God, you know, whatever happens here, we're going to say you did it. And we're going to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need the altar for anything, if I didn't preach on what you need, the altar's always open. It's always open. Come on, folks. 450.